Hi, this is Jason DeMont from LifeAfterCubes.com. The following is an interview with the co-founder of Auric Audio, Jason Lukash. Auric Audio is a fast-growing consumer electronics company with two products, the Fold and Play speakers and Rocket. You can check out their products and more at auricaudio.com. Enjoy the interview.
You want to give me kind of your basic background of, you know, where you went to college, kind of what you did before Auric Audio, anything of interest in your childhood or anything like that?
Sure. See, UC Davis, managerial economics major by way of Arizona State University, where I did some business for the first year, but partied too much.
You went to ASU for a year?
Yeah, I went to ASU freshman year in college. I wanted to go to Davis, but they wouldn't let me in. And I appealed my decision, and they still wouldn't let me in. So I went to ASU, and then I did a sophomore transfer and got into Davis. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. But growing up, like, entrepreneur, I guess.
I had a
candy stand on the corner of my... like where my parents live, we would like go up to Safeway and buy, you know, candy from Safeway and Costco and pretty much resell it at a higher price point. My best friend and I, so we figured out like where my parents live in Danville, it's on like the main thoroughfare home from our elementary school, so all the kids ride their bikes home down the street. So it's actually kind of crazy. We started selling on the corner, and then my parents lived maybe like a mile away from the school.
Mm-hmm.
But one kid who lived closer to the school opened up a candy store like a couple of streets before us, trying to undercut us. So he was successfully doing it, but we still had our loyal customer base. So then what we started doing was bringing candy to school and setting up trays outside school on like by the bike racks outside of the class, and we were undercutting him, and then we eventually prevailed by shutting him down. So I guess that was like first thing, and then in college I started my own like bartending and party serving company, where we'd post up on Craigslist and do all kinds of different events, like, you know, weddings, holiday parties, whatever, where we would people would buy the booze, because we started doing this before I was even 21, doing this when we were 20, and, you know, people would pay us $25 an hour or whatever to come to their event and, pour at it. It was pretty good. It was pretty successful, and, an ex-girlfriend and I started doing this, and, started taking off pretty fast, and, you know, we ended up doing a lot of, like, the 49ers and Golden State Warriors parties, and it was getting to the point where I was so busy every weekend doing parties, I couldn't really keep up with school, so I started hiring some of my friends to do it while I was at school, and became pretty successful. So that was one other thing, and then worked at JanSport for almost 4 years in charge of all their collegiate marketing and event marketing and promotions, especially a lot of the retail marketing and retail promotions, kind of got my foot into that, but also did a lot of product sourcing overseas with factories in China for JanSport, for more of like their gift with purchase type stuff, not the actual products, even though I did work with some of our factories a lot that produced our product, but mm-hmm. I did a lot of sourcing for like the smaller like tchotchke stuff, and that's kind of how I got into
the marketing promotion products.
Yeah, you know, anything from like beanies to like baseball hats, to, blankets, like
all
random,
the,
water bottles, stuff like that.
It's all the crap you get at like trade shows.
Yeah, yeah, all gotcha. That stuff. And then that's how I got in contact with the factory that produces our speakers. So, I guess that's
great. Just to go back a quick sec, back to the bartending. What ended up happening with that? Did you, after college, just kind of leave it off and move on?
Yeah, it kind of like phased out. It was pretty good. Like, I remember, for instance, it was like Memorial Day weekend, and I wanted to go on a cruise with all my friends. So hired, actually Sharon went on the cruise with us.
Yeah.
So like a huge 10-person wedding, and I hired like 10 of my friends to do it. And it was like, you know, basically charged the person like $25 an hour, paid my friends like, you know, 18 an hour. And the money was phenomenal. And then that was kind of like the last hurrah after that, because we were like graduating, and it was just kind of just phased out a little bit. People still email us for parties, but we're, you know, I got a job with Major League Soccer straight out of college, so I did that, and it kind of just faded away.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so then after college, you went into JanSport. Why didn't you try to do something entrepreneurial right off the bat?
Well, I got the job with Major League Soccer straight out of college, and I worked for Major League Soccer for the first year in charge of all their events and in event marketing for North America. So that was an awesome job. I traveled nonstop. I wanted to get like a solid job out of college instead of working for myself. I wanted to go into sports marketing. I interned for like the Oakland A's in college for 2 years and the Sacramento Rivercats. So I thought I wanted to go into sports marketing, so took a job with Major League Soccer. It was like very like well paid, and it was a fun job. I traveled for, you know, 20 weeks in a row, nonstop. It was awesome. And then as I was working there, I kind of realized I didn't want to work in sports anymore, because it made me hate sports, which I didn't really. It's true. I think like any job you have, like if you do it too long, it devalues and like you like desensitize yourself to it, you know? Like when I was working for the Oakland A's, I was working there, and you realize like how big of a, like, you know, a dick some of the players are, obviously, like being close to them and working with them all the time. It makes you like, hey, baseball, like the Oakland A's are my favorite baseball team, but everyone always like, you know, when you work there, don't you work like, you work like, you know, you come in at 8 in the morning and you work till like 5, and then there's a game at 7, so you have to work the game, you know, the first part of the game, and then everyone's like, don't you stay and watch the game afterwards? Like, no, you know, like, after you work all day, the last thing you want to do is be around baseball, and same thing happens to soccer. So then I'm like, I found a job with JanSport, and I'm kind of like, you know, backpacks, I'll try this out. And I was looking for a job in the Bay Area, and I got offered a full-time position in New York with Major League Soccer, and I didn't want to move to New York, so I tried this out with JanSport, but that's when the idea for Org Audio came about while I was working in JanSport.
Gotcha. And you want to just kind of give a brief background on Org Audio?
Yeah, so in December of 2008, I was in Korea, and I met with the company that developed the actual speaker part of the speakers. So I sat down. I was going to Thailand on vacation, and I sat down with these guys and, you know, presented an idea to them. They had their speakers in a hard polypropylene plastic that didn't really have any give to it, and they were 1 watt and kind of bulky, took up a decent amount of room in your, you know, backpack or suitcase. And I was traveling and kind of wanted some speakers that were portable, so I sat down with them and went back to the idea of developing a speaker that could come flat, and when you needed it, it could fold together, like a la, you know, a Chinese takeout box or whatever. Oh shit, sorry man, I just got this email. We got a huge PO from a QVC for the rocket.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Congratulations. Anyways,
yeah, 4,000 pieces.
Nice.
So, sorry.
No I've been worries. Waiting
forever.
That's exciting news.
Anyways, so I sat down with them, and I'm like, you know, here's my idea. It might sound crazy. It's me at a table with, like, you know, 4 Koreans who I'd never met before. I worked with one guy at the factory through JanSport for a little while, because we're working on some project sourcing stuff with them.
Gotcha. So this is somebody that you met through JanSport through the marketing tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. They do. The company also has another division that does a lot of promotional product sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at their site and their products more, and I saw like the speakers that didn't really fold and they were the plastic, so that's why I, like, the idea instantly sparked from that. So I pitched them on the idea in Korea, and then, you know, they it was definitely a weird meeting situation, and they didn't seem too receptive at first. And then I, you know, like, it would be huge in the United States. Something made out of recycled material would be phenomenal. And they're like, yeah, but in Asia, it wouldn't be as popular. Like, it's not about Asia. Like, in the States, this would kill. Like, so I left Seoul and got back home and then communicated with them more and more and finally got, like, a paper sample, and the paper seemed pretty right. And I'm like, you know, we developed a dye line for it. And finally, like, I got a working sample of the speakers in maybe, like, February of 2009. And I was like, you know what, I think I could sell the hell out of these things. So I called Mike, who I met from Major League Soccer. Mm-hmm. And he's doing some part-time. I hired him at Jansport to do some work with us, too. So just contracted stuff. And I'm like, you know, I got this idea. I've got these speakers here, and I think we could sell them. The profit margin's pretty good, and it'd be a huge risk, but I think we should hire some artists to put some designs on them and build a website and just start selling them to the public. And he's like, yeah, for sure. He's like, I got nothing else going on right now. So we kind of developed OrgAudio from that.
Gotcha. Were there any issues getting the product from Korea to bring it into the U.S.? I mean, how did you go about doing that?
So the product's made in Shanghai. It's just the offices are in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
And the engineers and the whole company's based out of Seoul, but the factory's in Shanghai.
Okay.
So I knew about importing goods from China just because I was doing a lot of it with Jansport for promotional products. So I wasn't really too worried about the importation. It was different for me because it was electronics, which I'd never really done before. But I had I knew a good freight forwarder out of California that I called, and he handled the first shipment for us to Chicago. You know, the biggest thing for us, we were trying to figure out where the hell we're going to store all this stuff because, yeah, our business is based on Mike's house in Chicago. And I was living in a little bit, you know, a small apartment in San Francisco, and we had 6,000 speakers coming through. So we cleared Mike's cars out of his garage in Chicago and convinced his roommates to let us store all the speakers in his garage. And that worked out for us. But there wasn't really any importation problems
to begin
with. Yeah, afterwards, and all the other shipments we've done, we've got pulled for, you know, intense customs inspections before, but now we have a continuous bond with, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, which speeds up the customs process for us bringing stuff into the U.S., which is a lot better and more helpful. So
great. So we're almost at like the 15-20 minute mark. Can you do 5-10 more minutes? I know you're busy.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, I got plenty of time.
Okay.
I just have to conference call at 11. So.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we'll take that long. I actually really want to go into kind of the PR. One of the things that it's just amazing to me, Time Magazine, Fox Business News, The Today Show, Parade Magazine, Billboard, QVC, and I'm probably missing a ton of others. You've gotten your products on all of those things. I mean, how do you do it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. We're pretty lucky. The cool thing about, like, OrgAudio, we have zero paid marketing. I think last year on, like, marketing, when we broke it down, we spent maybe, like, $500, I think, and that was just for our launch party and just, like, random stuff. Then this year, in terms of marketing, our total marketing spend is probably maybe, like, $4,000 total. And that's, like, just South by Southwest and Bonnaroo. That's about it.
I'm sorry. Before we get, I wanted to ask you about can you give me any type of ballpark on income revenue from OrgAudio? I don't know if you feel comfortable providing that.
I'd rather not say like how much money we made, but like I can tell like total sales figures for 2000 because I just got the books because we did taxes.
Gotcha.
2009, we launched in August, so August to December. In total sales, we did close to $450,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this year, is it safe to say have you already matched that, or do you expect to double that? I mean, I don't know if any time.
Our sales goal for this year is 2 mil. Mm. I think we'll probably hit it. We're on pace right now. But the thing about Origato too, I haven't taken a dime out of the company. Actually, it's all everything that I've earned has stayed in it. Same with Mike. We haven't withdrawn any money from it. We're keeping everything in the company, and we'll start trying to take, we have to by law now take some kind of quarterly, you know, bonus or whatever, but I still haven't taken a dime out of the company, so it's pretty cool.
That's great.
I mean, so, I need the money soon, though.
Could imagine you've been doing this since over a year now, so.
Yeah, we're getting close to it. But back to, like, the press thing, right? We've got an awesome press list that I've pulled from previous jobs and contacts in different PR agencies that I know. A lot of good friends have helped us pull some good lists together. And literally what we did when we launched Origato, we did a mass press blast out to, you know, everybody and their mother and put a press release out on the wire. They got picked up pretty decently. The first big publication to actually cover it was Billboard, and Billboard's a decent, you know, music mag. It's not as big as Rolling Stone, obviously, but it's still a pretty good music magazine. They put it in print, and then after that, everything kind of snowballed. We had some, like, good online press, bloggers, and then Time Magazine contacted us in October of last year, and they said we were in consideration for the top 50 list, and I'm like, no way, you know. I immediately, like, Googled the previous year, and, like, top gadget, I think, was the iPhone. So I'm like, we're not going to compete. And then called us in November, and they're like, you know, you're on the list. You're number 36 or whatever. And the list is coming out tomorrow online. So that was, like, November 11th. Then it went online on the 12th. And then same morning, it was on the – our speakers were on the Today Show. We knew – Time Magazine wanted to keep our speakers to do some TV like shots with it, but I thought it was just going to be like product shots. I didn't think they'd actually feature it on the Today Show. And that morning, November 12th, was the day that our business changed forever because it went live on the web that day. We had, like, I think on that day, maybe like 4,000 speakers left out of the initial 6,000 that we ordered.
From the very initial order.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that initial order came in August, and it was like this product selling like okay, like nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
Like we picked up some like small like eco stores, and it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
It was moving decently. Like on the web, we'd sold like 5 to 10 a day, maybe mostly like to friends and stuff. And then word started spreading from Billboard. But November 12th was like crazy. I mean, I was flying out here to Gainesville and I was gone all day, but I woke up at, like, 6 in the morning, like, you know, my phone was going off nonstop, like, I finally, like, answered, and it was my cousin out here in Miami, and she's like, your speaker's on the Today Show, this is, like, 6 in the morning, like, West Coast time, and I was like, no way, like, no, so I set the DVR, like, drove the SFO and, like, called Mike, I'm like, dude, what's going on? He's like, the site traffic's out of control, because, you know, we can track it all with ZenCart, and we had like at any other given time at like 6 in the morning we'd have like, you know, 1 to 3 people on the site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, you know, we've got like close to 700 people on the website right now.
You say 700?
Yeah, 700. Wow. I'm like, oh my god, the site's gonna crash, you know. So
good problem to have.
Yeah, the site was fine. I got in contact with our developer in Hong Kong and he's like, it'll be fine. And then basically, by the end of that day, we sold that day. I think we sold close to like 500 to 600 speakers on our website, which was pretty awesome. And then it kind of snowballed after that. We Parade Magazine the following week put it in their, you know, holiday gift guide, which was awesome because that was actually bigger than the Time Magazine thing because Parade's in 32 million newspapers across the country. So that was pretty damn good. And then the Time thing came to print right after the Parade thing, and then some other different publications started covering it. We got some TV requests, and then, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show called us. Usually it's the other way around. You have to call the CES way in advance to try to get a booth space, but they contacted us. They're like, we saw your product in time. We want to include you in the show. Are you guys interested? Here's the booth. The booth fee is $6,000 for a 10x10 booth, and I was kind of like, no way. Like, I'd done a lot of trade shows before. I'm like, I'm not paying $6,000 for just to get lost. And my mom's like, you know, you should really do it. I think it would be good. So I'm like, all right. So we got a booth, and then the show worked out really well to our advantage. Our booth was constantly packed nonstop. Like, people were coming to seek us out at CES, which was still blows my mind.
That's fantastic.
It really helped. And then the show helped catapult us into some good press opportunities for this year with the Rocket, since we launched it in January.
Mm-hmm.
Fox Business shot us at the show. Then a couple other TV segments were filmed at the show on the product. And then some good print press has come out of it, like in June. June's going to be our big press month here. We'll be in Reader's Digest, InStyle, and Rolling Stone, which are three big mags here in the U.S. Reader's Digest is actually the biggest publication in the United States, which I didn't even know.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, the circulation's like 12 million. Wow. So I think that'll help. And
Certainly.
QVC will help as well, but we've got pretty lucky with the press, and it's all free. That's press to us. I've always said, like, any press is good press, no matter what. Even if we're on like a small tribal blog, all it is good exposure, you know.
Yep. So, I mean, just rewinding that just a little bit. So, the first one, you said you just put it on the wire, and it got picked up. I mean, was there?
We put it out. Yeah. We put it on the wire, but we also blasted it to editors at all these magazines. I had a press list of about 3,000 editors at magazines and newspapers across the country.
Mm-hmm.
At first, like, no one really wrote us back, but then when it started popping up some places, I, you know, got my Google notification. What the hell is it called? I can't remember. It's like, you know, Google notifies me every time Orgadio is mentioned.
Yes, Google Alert.
So, I get some emails about it, and then, like, more and more editors were interested in it, and as it got closer to holiday season, it was really to our advantage, because the speakers were, like, the perfect stocking stuffer at $16.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, literally fit in your stocking, too. So we started getting some good, like, holiday gift press, and did another press blast in, like, September, October, where more people were interested in writing about it, and, you know, at first we were trying to be stingy on our press samples, where when we did the initial forecast for the 6,000 speakers, we only wanted to allocate like 100 units to press, but we ended up giving close to like maybe like 400 to 500 away to as press samples, just because, you know, at first we realized that we really had to do that to get the word out, and it worked out pretty well from that as well, so.
And you said the list was from something that, like, previous contacts and...
Previous contacts, and then a lot of I had two friends that were working at PR agencies that helped us get access to their press list. Because the press, you know, a service like that for, like, access to press databases costs, like, it's something like $20,000 a year. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Some of my contacts, who I will not name, helped
sure.
Some awesome lists to help us out a lot, and we still have those press lists that we use. We'll probably use again in the summer, getting ready for holiday gift guides as well. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So changing subjects slightly, if you were starting over and kind of interested in getting into this space, consumer electronics, music, whatever, how would you do it? So what advice would you give to somebody that was interested in getting into this consumer electronics space?
The thing that I've learned, it's super, super cutthroat. That's the biggest thing. It's like nonstop. Like, the problem it's a problem work with China, because obviously knockoffs, you know, trust issues, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I never understood how cutthroat electronics are, because you have to stay on the leading edge, because in 1 second, everything will change. Like, you know, people thought of the iPad coming, but the iPad launch, and now a lot of people are changing the way a lot of people are gearing towards building products built for the iPad. And it's one thing that we're looking at when we go out there in a couple days. We're looking at some iPad-related stuff, too. But I think you have to stay ahead of the curve. And I think also, like, the thing with China, China's becoming, a little more mainstream for producing products now in production. I know a lot of people are moving factories offshore, or not offshore, but to, like, Bangladesh, India, Philippines, because China's becoming very, very expensive now. Also, a new tax in China is being imposed, I think, May 1st. There's an extra, I think, $1,500 on containers leaving China going to the United States. So a lot of people are either moving shipments to other countries or to consolidate goods, or they're moving factories altogether. So China's been very difficult to work with. For us, it's been okay. But I think the two main things is staying, ahead of the game and trying to predict, what's going to happen for electronics, producing that, and also, I think the labor issues and working with a factory that's a little more, I don't know, maybe in a different location besides China, but that's very difficult to but I think mostly just staying ahead of the game on trying to predict what's next.
Gotcha. Great. I think last question, again, appreciate your time. What's next for Morrig Audio?
We've got, in terms of products, we've got a new product coming out June 1st. It's called Sphere, and it's a higher end set of speakers for your laptop or iPod. Mostly, we're gearing it towards the laptop consumer, because the cool thing is it's a USB powered. They're rated at 3.5 to 4 watts each, and the sound quality is really, really good.
The Fold and Play are 1 watt.
Yeah, Fold and Play are 1 watt. Fold and Play have no amplification whatsoever, so they're powered off your device, and the sound quality is okay on them. The Sphere, though, it bumps. It's pretty freaking loud. It's shaped like a softball. We wanted to develop the speaker, back to our roots where, it comes together and it breaks apart, or, kind of like the origami concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so we developed it based like a softball kind of device, and split apart into two orbs, we're calling them, and so it's powered up USB powered or 3 AAA batteries. But the cool thing about it too is we put an external USB slot on it. So the biggest thing is for us, when you plug something into your laptop, you lose the USB slot, and depending on how the USB cord is built, it's hard to even get something else in there. So we wanted to make something that had a USB slot on it, so you could put a memory stick into the speaker, so you could put your iPod into the, plug into the speaker.
Yeah.
So we built it like that, and we got the price point pretty low on it. I think we're going to launch it at about $29.99 here in the U.S. So that's coming out. And then in terms of Rocket and our products and stuff, distribution, we picked up some pretty big accounts. And we're in the process of, we picked up Fry's Electronics, which is big on the West Coast, for products. We picked up Toys R Us for the speakers.
Wow.
And then hopefully in the fall, we'll be in Best Buy and Target, and also Micro Center, Hastings, and Fred Meyer, which are some other big mass retailers here in the States. But the biggest thing right now is QVC. We've got QVC on Thursday for the speakers between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern time, and it's also Earth Day, which works out pretty well. And then we'll be doing, as of just now, the Rocket on QVC in June, which is actually good for us. The biggest thing with the Rocket is when it sits on the shelf, it's really hard to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
The box is okay. It's not it's still, when you see it, it says portable vibration speaker, and no one has any idea what the hell that is,
Mm-hmm.
We noticed a lot of our business has been doing really, really well for online retailers. We've got one online retailer, Accessory Geeks, which is selling, a case a week, which is pretty good, because we noticed that places where you can post up a demo video on how it works moves the product a lot faster, because people can see how it functions and the cool aspects of it. So QVC for us is huge because 98 million homes are going to watch us demo it, which is awesome. They move so much product, and it's really a great exposure standpoint, because remember, like, you and I talked a while ago about the infomercial type thing, but QVC's the cost to us is pretty minimal, and the exposure is tenfold out of it. So I'm really hoping the product does very, very well on QVC. So
yeah, I mean, it's a perfect product for QVC. I think it makes total sense. Are you plugging Fold and Play on Thursday or Rocket?
Yeah, Thursday's Fold and Play.
Okay, I didn't realize that was Rocket.
So that, and that's, we got a pretty good time slot. It's like prime time, and it's Earth Day, so I think Fold and Play will do pretty well, but then Rocket will be in June. So
gotcha.
They're also picking up Sphere probably for the summertime as well.
Great.
So yeah,
that's fantastic. Thanks a lot for giving me the time. I appreciate it. It's really interesting.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, I'd love to hear it. You can send me an email at jason@lifeaftercubes.com.